All right. Hey, Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here until 5 a.m. And we're about to start our tribute to David Bowie. And we want to hear from you, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And so we're going to get to that in a second. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. So let's do this. I'm trying to figure out something here. Wait a minute. All right. So, hold on. Okay. All right. Nick DiGiulio here. So, I wanted to mention this. This was one of the first obits that came out when Bowie passed away, when we first heard that he passed away over 24 hours ago. It says, David Bowie has died after a battle with cancer. And the thing that was unbelievable to me was that he kept it so secretive. Like, no one knew about it. I had no idea that David Bowie was sick. I knew that he had sort of left the public eye for a long time. And I knew that he was working on an album. I knew that much. But I did not know he was sick. I had no idea that he was sick. And I think that was the case with most people. Just didn't know that he was ill at all until we found out. And, you know, he celebrated a birthday, 69th birthday, on Friday. And released an album on Friday, and then, you know, 2 days later he passes away. Now, Esmeralda, you had no idea that he was ill, right?
Oh, no, not at all. I don't think, I mean, he seems the type to not want that public.
Yeah, he did. I mean, you know, he pretty much dropped out of the public eye for a long time.
Right. I had seen stuff earlier, just news things, and they were saying when he had something with his heart some years back. And he didn't talk about it. Like, people would ask him, oh, you're doing great after that heart thing, and he would just kind of avoid it.
Yeah. Well, he passed away, and he was an influential singer-songwriter. And they released this statement. David Bowie died peacefully today, surrounded by his family, after a courageous 18-month battle with cancer. While many of you will share in this loss, we ask that you respect the family's privacy during their time of grief. That was the statement that they had released, the official statement that they had released. We've got a lot of artists that paid tribute to David Bowie. Iggy Pop, who clearly was one of his closest friends and collaborators, he wrote, David's friendship was the light of my life. I never met such a brilliant person. He was the best there is. That was Iggy Pop. Kanye West says of Bowie, David Bowie was one of my most important inspirations. So fearless, so creative. He gave us magic for a lifetime. Paul McCartney says, very sad news to wake up on this raining morning. David was a great star, and I treasure the moments we had together. His music played a very strong part in British musical history, and I'm proud to think that the huge influence he had on people are all around the world. I send my deepest sympathies to his family, and we'll always remember the great laughs that we had through the years. His star will shine in the sky forever. The Rolling Stones made a statement. The Rolling Stones are shocked and deeply saddened to hear of the death of our friend David Bowie, as well as being a wonderful, kind man. He was an extraordinary artist and a true original. Guillermo del Toro tweeted out, Bowie existed, so all of us misfits learned that an oddity was a precious thing, and he changed our world forever. Madonna said, so lucky to have met you. Hot tramp, I love you so. Madonna actually had a great story that kind of was on the web. I don't know if you saw this, Esmeralda, on the web, but
I saw it. Yeah,
she was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing in like '96.
Oh, I was thinking when she first, like, she went to his concert.
Yeah, and she tells that story. Oh, okay. Yeah, she tells a story about her father just forbade her from going. So no, you're not going. There's no way that you're going. And she snuck out and saw David Bowie. It was her first concert. And she said, well, yeah, clearly I was a different person when I came home from that. Yoko Ono said, as John and I had very few friends, we felt David was as close as family, sweet memories that will stay with us forever. So people remembering David Bowie. 312-981-7200. I had some friends and some people on my Facebook page leave some stories about Bowie, and we'll want to get to those as well. Someone posted the Bing Crosby David Bowie duet on Facebook a few years ago. Now, this is a pretty legendary Christmas song. I'm not really big into the Christmas music. You know, some of it is good, some of it is terrible. But you gotta love the Bing Crosby, David Bowie duet of Little Drummer Boy. That's just spectacular. And I don't know. I mean, my thought is, like, I don't think Bing Crosby had any idea who David Bowie was. Like, somebody on the staff or, like, producing the show said, you know, it'd be a really good idea to make Bing seem hip. So let's bring in this David Bowie guy and see what happens. And it could have been a spectacular nightmare. Could have been a disaster, but it turned out great. Like, strange and wonderful and great. But I'm convinced that, like, Bing Crosby was like, who's this? Like, he's got no idea. That was my Bing Crosby, by the way. Esmeralda, didn't you think for, like...
That was really good. That, I, like, went, what happened to Nick?
Yeah. Where did Nick go? Because right. Bing Crosby just took over the show. That's how good my Bing Crosby is. But that duet is pretty great. You like that, don't you, Esmeralda, the Little Drummer Boy duet?
Right. No, it's nice.
It's
I
awesome.
Like it.
It's awesome. This person says, I watched it immediately and it caught my breath. My father was 55 years old when I was born and died in 1988 at the age of 87. He never liked Bing Crosby, and I found out later that the reason was that people insisted that he looked like Bing Crosby. Oh, no. That's why he didn't like Bing Crosby? When I first watched that video of the duet almost 20 years after my dad died, I immediately saw the resemblance, and I still choke up when I see that video, not just because of the resemblance and the sentimentality and the spirit of Christmas, but because it perfectly framed my dad's challenge and joy of being the older parent of teenagers who listened to Bowie and Jagger and rock and roll. Two worlds through one music. That's a good way of putting it. Good way of putting it. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you'd like to join us with your Bowie stories, we've got some audio that we're going to be playing from his movies and interviews, and we've got a bunch of that stuff, and, of course, music. But we want to talk to you at 312-981-7200. Here's John on WGN. Hey, John.
Yeah. Is this Nick?
Yes.
Oh, John in Eastern Iowa. I had a book called Stardust that somebody wrote about Bowie, and it said that he was in these two minor groups. One of them was called the Lower Third, and the other one was called the Manish Boys. And they recorded some records for Decca in England, and they said that after the groups broke up, the former members tried to go backstage when Bowie became famous, and they wanted to reconnect with him. Well, Bowie had a girlfriend named Coco in the late 70s, and every time these former members would try to come on stage, she would steer them away from Bowie. She basically felt that was his past and that they were erased.
Okay. And did Bowie ever connect with them or no?
I think he did a few of them. There was a guy named Johnny Hutch that had actually played with the Beatles. He was a drummer, and I think he was in one of Bowie's backing bands, like around the time of David Live.
Hmm. Okay. All right. So
Bowie was also almost signed to Apple Records.
Yeah. Well, Bowie was, you know, I mean, a lot of people don't realize the expanse of Bowie's influence in his career and the variety of things that he did, you know.
Did you ever see the Midnight Special about that Bowie was from the Marquee Club in London?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't remember what you're saying. I mean, I've watched Midnight Special and I probably seen what you're talking about, but I don't have a specific memory of it.
Okay, that aired in the winter of 1973. But it used to freak a lot of people out when they saw that.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, John.
Okay, I'll talk to you again.
All right, 312-981-7200. And let's take a little break here. But before we do, I want to play a little clip from some of his. We've got some great audio here. We got interviews, clips from movies, and we're going to hear some music as well. But we're going to take a break here. But before we do, let's play a little clip from one of his most legendary films, The Man Who Fell to Earth, which is a very strange, very interesting, and awesome movie. Here's a little clip from The Man Who Fell to Earth, David Bowie.
You know what I think?
Oh,
I think you know too much about me.
What do you mean?
I can do anything now, you know? I can kill you right here on this bed. And then I could phone room service. And they'd take your body away. And then I'd have them send up another girl.
Oh, Tommy. Tommy. I just want it to be like it was. Me. The two of us. You. The way you were.
That's the way I am. Oh. It's too late, Mary Lou. I can't trust you.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Goodbye, Mary Lou.
No.
Sleep well.
Yeah, very crazy movie. Esmeralda, have you ever seen A Man Who Fell to Earth?
I haven't. I have not.
It's out there. Let's
I
just
can
say
imagine.
It's out there. All right. More Bowie memories, some audio from interviews and TV appearances. A lot of memories that you guys left on my Facebook page, some of my friends, and I want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Oh, boy. The great David Bowie. We lost him on Sunday. And a massive hole in the music world that has been left behind by David Bowie's passing. And we're remembering David Bowie with your thoughts. We've got a bunch of celebrities who have reacted to Bowie's passing. We want to hear from you. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200 with all your Bowie thoughts and memories. 312-981-7200. The phone lines are open. The text lines are open as well. My friend Steve, my buddy Steve Wilson, who's the first guy I thought of, by the way. You know how when someone passes away, a celebrity passes away, and you know there's one person who just loves that celebrity or really was influenced by them. When I heard the news yesterday morning, the first person I thought of was my friend Steve Wilson. Steve is an actor, a director, a friend of mine who I've worked with many times. I directed him in shows, acted with him in shows. And he directed the Hypocrites production of American Idiot that played just this past fall. He's a great guy, and he's the biggest Bowie fan that I've ever met in my life. And he said, when I was about 11 years old, I caught a PBS airing of David Bowie playing John Merrick in The Elephant Man, and it was mesmerizing. He played the role with no makeup. He just distorted his body and face, and I was in that moment that I knew I wanted to be an actor. Soon after, my father purchased a cassette tape of Bowie's greatest hits called Fame and Fashion. I became obsessed with that tape and wanted it playing in the car every trip. My dad picked up The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and The Spiders from Mars next. Both cassettes disappeared from the car and became permanent additions to my portable cassette player in my room. I listened to everything I could get my hands on. I imagined a storyline of Ziggy playing out in my mind, my imagination filling with the blanks between songs. Bowie's music carried me through the relentless bullying that I experienced in grade school and high school, my parents' divorce, broken relationships, and life-changing road trips. Even now, there is always a Bowie album that feels tailored for whatever I'm going through at any given time. At the moment, it's grief. The album that this moment is Black Star. Bowie made it okay to feel like an outsider. He made it okay for people to embrace their own uniqueness and to be themselves. He united people who didn't feel as if they fit in. The day a new Bowie album came out, was always a sacred holiday to me. I would purchase it and be alone to devour it. I would listen to it over and over and over again, album after album. Bowie's music introduced me to folk, rock, jazz, R&B, blues, soul, funk, pop, etc. He has dabbled in every genre. He had the ability to pull elements from different genres and so effectively collide them together. The results were always transformative. To me, that's what great art does. So, yeah, he was my hero. I did not expect to be hit so hard by his death. I knew he would not live forever, and I always wondered what my reaction would be the day when that day came. I just was not prepared for that day to be here now. It may seem strange for some that I am grieving so hard for somebody I've never met. It's because so much of my life, including what I've chosen to pursue for the rest of it, has to do with the impact that this incredible artist had on me. So thank you, David Bowie, for being the brave, bold artist that you've always been all the way up until the very end. It's my friend Steve Wilson. Well put. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, we will actually hear some dialogue from the Elephant Man when David Bowie played him, and that's the thing that sparked Steve love of Bowie was seeing the PBS airing of the Elephant Man. He was extraordinary in it, and we'll hear a little bit of that and his music and talk more. 312-981-7200, celebrating the life of David Bowie. News is next. There's a star. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We would love to hear from you, your thoughts about the great David Bowie, a massive legend in music. 312-981-7200, talk and text, 312-981-7200. That song, by the way, is not surprisingly enough used in The Martian, that hilarious comedy with Matt Damon. So hilarious, it in fact won Best Comedy Motion Picture. I had to turn it off a couple times. I was laughing so hard. I could catch my breath because it was so hysterically funny. But they used Starman in The Martian, and they used it to good effect. That, of course, is David Bowie. We're remembering David Bowie. I have a bunch of my friends and a bunch of people who posted on my Facebook page and online about their thoughts. We have a bunch of texts from celebrities and musicians and artists who were affected by him. I just read a thing that my friend Steve Wilson wrote on Facebook. He first became aware of David Bowie by seeing a PBS broadcast of The Elephant Man, in which David Bowie played the Elephant Man. He toured around the country, too, playing it on stage, and there was no makeup. It was all through physicality, and he was pretty great in it. I think you can probably see it online. This is a little portion of that. This is the David Bowie playing John Merrick in The Elephant Man.
You are happy here, are you not, John?
Oh, yes.
The baths have rid you of your odor, have they not?
First chance I've had to pay regular. Leaf.
3 meals a day delivered to your room?
Yes, sir.
Oh, this is your promised land, is it not? Roof, food, care, protection.
Oh, right, Mr. Jeeps.
I'll bet you don't know what to call this.
No, sir, I don't.
You call it home.
Never had a home before.
You have one now. Say it, John. Home.
Oh?
No, no, I mean really say it. I have a home. This is my... Come on.
I have a home. This is my home. This. It's my home. I have a home. I have. For as long as I like.
That is what home is.
That is what is home.
There it is. He was unbelievable in that. He really was. Esmeralda, have you ever seen that?
I haven't seen that one. I saw the movie.
Well, yeah, it wasn't him.
I know. No, movie. But I'm saying, like, I haven't seen him portray.
Yeah,
the Elephant Man.
It's a completely different thing, though. You know, because in the film, obviously, John Hurt.
Right. That's all. He's all done up.
Yeah. You know, he had all the makeup and everything, and boy, Bowie was phenomenal in it. Robin Coffin, my friend Robin, she's an amazing actress, really cool person. I had the privilege of directing her in Black and Blue. And she, by the way, has been doing some really, really great work on Chicago Fire. And and the crossover shows. So I'm so happy for her doing really great work. But Robin was pretty much devastated by Bowie's death the other morning, and she said, I was always a Bowie fan. Let's Dance was the first video I ever saw. But seeing the Bowie exhibit at MCA took my breath away, and I cried through the whole thing. Seeing all of his works, art, inspiration, genius, vulnerability, and beauty in one place made me feel like being an artist is the most important job in the world. She said, that's my story. Thank you. A lot of people saw that exhibit, including myself, at the MCA, and it was pretty unbelievable. It really was unbelievable. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. 331 area code sends a text. And you can send it to 312-981-7200. Bowie went like Lemmy did 2 weeks ago. They worked hard until their birthdays and died 2 days after their birthday. Rest in peace. Yeah, you know, Lemmy, Bowie, there's been a lot of deaths over the past couple of weeks that have just been, in the world of horror movies, folks, if you know you're a fan of this show, you know how much the movie Phantasm means to me. And Esmeralda, you heard me refer to it many times during our Halloween celebrations a couple of months ago.
Yes.
And Phantasm is a seminal movie for me. It's the movie that I've seen the most in theater. And I do not exaggerate when I say in the theater I saw Phantasm triple digits in the theater. And the bad guy in that movie is the tall man, and he's played by Angus Scrimm, who I have had the pleasure of meeting several times and interviewing a couple of times and moderating Q&A panels with him and the rest of the cast and director of Phantasm. And Angus passed away over the weekend. He was 89 years old, and so he passed away. And so for horror film fans, we lost like an iconic man who played an iconic character in the history of horror movies. So it's been rough in the world of like art and entertainment in terms of death lately. You know, Natalie Cole, we talked about Natalie Cole on Fly Jams Friday. She passed away. It's just been rough. So Donna in Chicago says, you know Mark Bolan from T-Rex? Yes, I do. Did you know that David Bowie paid to send his son to school? He looked after his son after Mark died in a car crash. That's another thing that maybe not a lot of people realize about David Bowie is just how how supportive he was of other artists and other people, and helped out whenever he could. I can't tell you the number of people, musicians, who had hit hard times that David Bowie hired, or that David Bowie got gigs. After Peter Frampton, after his star completely fell to earth, after the Frampton Comes Alive and I'm In You, it was pretty much over for Peter Frampton at that point. He couldn't buy anything. He couldn't buy publicity. And Bowie hired him. Bowie hired him to play guitar on his album. He hired him to tour with him. When nobody would hire Peter Frampton, Bowie did. And he did that for many, many other people. And, yeah, I mean, he cared a lot about Mark Bolan and was an incredibly generous man. No question about it. Let's see. Here's a person that sends a message that says, I don't want to use my real name, but I was molested in junior high, reported it to the principal, and it got covered up. The principal beat me for better part of that day and made me apologize to the teacher for accusing him. It took many years to adjust, but the song Changes helped me hang on in a lot of those times. I was always getting, don't be so moody or what's wrong with you, everybody loved to give advice. Those words, they're never quite aware of what you're going through, somehow kept me fighting to keep my head high. My folks never knew what happened, but I was always there. That was always there for me against the loudmouths. See, it's that kind of impact on somebody's life that that you don't even realize how impactful something like that could be, or a song, a movie. My friend David Cromer, who is a remarkable actor, great director, who now lives in New York from Chicago. So the day John Lennon died in 1980, it was the first assassination of which I was conscious since Martin Luther King and Kennedy deaths. The Kennedy deaths took place when I was younger, a toddler. I felt shocked, confused, violated, robbed of something I couldn't describe, the same way everybody felt, but I didn't cry. Every radio station played his music all day and all night, but at around 8 or 9 p.m., WXRT started playing appropriate music by Lennon's peers. David Bowie's Changes played. the tears started at, and these children that you spit on as they try to change their world are immune to your consultation. They're quite aware of what they're going through. And we're blasting out full force at the ramping up of the song's chorus. I guess now I associate that moment with understanding shock and its aftermath. I have consciously avoided Bowie's music all day on the day he died because I can't face the tears. It seems like every song he ever wrote was designed to be more heartbreaking when played at his death. It's my friend David Cromer sharing his thoughts. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Mark on WGN. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, a few facts to run by you, and then a question for you as a theater man. The pianist on Changes, which was first out in 1971, was Rick Wakeman.
Yes.
And my first awareness of Bowie was in early 73 with Space Oddity, but that song came out first in 1969. So David Bowie has one of the greatest longevities of any artist, because now he's going to have a new album out this year. One of the few people who exceeds him is Paul McCartney. And then in 74, he was featured in Earache My Eye, in a way, by Cheech and Chong, because there was a rock singer there named Alice Bowie.
Yeah, they combined Alice Cooper and David Bowie.
Right. But he's been adopting and changing names from the start, because his actual name is David Jones, from
right.
what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
There was already Davy Jones of the Monkees, so he decided, well, I'll just be David Bowie. But here's my question for you. Changes is an appropriate song to describe what a lot of people have said about him, that he kept changing his persona and reinvent himself. And Anthony Hopkins once said that he was almost too good at that, because he would lose touch with who he was. And I'm curious, one of our local morning men said that he saw David Bowie as an actor who was doing a lot of his acting through his music. And I don't get the sense that David Bowie had the same problem as Anthony Hopkins. In fact, I would almost describe David Bowie as a multiple personality without any disorder. Would you agree with that, that he could do this shifting of identity or shifting personality without running into the problem of remembering who he was?
Yeah, I obviously didn't know the guy personally, but I mean, clearly he changed his personality constantly. He changed his image constantly. He changed the type of music that he did constantly. He always challenged himself in the world of art and the world of acting and everything. So I don't know if he had any personal issues of trying to lose himself in that, but he certainly was great at doing that. And it certainly was sincere and genuine. It didn't seem like an act to me. It seemed all too real. Okay, we got a break here. We got the weather, we got the traffic, and then we'll come back and we'll talk more David Bowie. We got some more interviews to play. We've got audio from some of his movies and other appearances, and of course his music. And our phone number is 312-981-7200 with your thoughts on Bowie. You can text us or call us. I got some texts here in front of me, but we got some lines open if you want to jump in. We're remembering David Bowie. Not an exaggeration to say, in my opinion, one of the greatest songs ever recorded by either artist. It's Queen and David Bowie. That's two of the most incredible artists in the history of music together. Freddie Mercury, who I still maintain is the greatest frontman in the history of rock. And the great David Bowie, who we lost on Sunday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're remembering David Bowie. That song, I don't know, man. There's just, I don't know. I mean, I vividly remember the first time hearing that song and was just, you know, as a Bowie fan at that point, and obviously as a Queen fan, the fact that those two guys were together on one song, I mean, come on. Now, Dan, do you remember when you first were kind of became familiar with Under Pressure?
My dad played it over our stereo system. It was tradition that he would play an album of his choosing while we were forced to do our Saturday chores.
Right.
And I thought it was the Talking Heads when I heard it.
Oh, really?
For the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was convinced that it was the Talking Heads. And I didn't really like, you know, Talking Heads I'm kind of ambivalent on.
Yeah.
But I always like, but they've got that song Under Pressure. And then and then I found out it was Queen and David Bowie. And I'm like, oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
They did that? You know, like I couldn't have those guys in higher esteem. And then I found out that was them. And it was just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I really do think it's one of the greatest songs ever recorded. I mean, I honestly. And by two of the most important guys that have ever recorded music. That song is a treasure. I mean, that song is an absolute treasure, a masterpiece. Esmeralda, what about you? Can you remember sort of the first time you became aware of Under Pressure?
I don't really remember the first time, but every time I do listen to it, it kind of gives me the feels.
Yeah.
Just because it's so emotionally strong.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I'm listening to music when I'm walking down the street, and it kind of, whatever I'm listening to kind of affects how I start to feel as I walk down the street.
Right. No, I understand.
And that, like, and you know, like, just the lyrics and stuff, and I'm like, if you're downtown and you're walking amongst all these people, you start, I don't know, it really just takes me somewhere emotionally.
You know what? I mean, that's what great music does. There's just no question about it. And that song is transcendent. I mean, I remember, I was in high school when that song came out, and I was like, this is the deal. This is it, man. This is the deal right here. Because, you know, I mean, Freddie Mercury, David Bowie together? What the hell are we talking about here? That just doesn't get better. It doesn't. And with a song of that quality? I mean, they could have got together and, you know, like when Bowie and Mick Jagger got together, they did a really terrible cover of Dancing in the Streets, which is really, really bad.
Which can I... have you ever watched the things where they don't have the sound?
Oh, absolutely.
Or the singing?
Yes.
If you watch the one for Dancing in the Street, it's really
hysterical.
Funny.
It's hysterical. I've watched it many, many times.
No, I have a friend who loves it, and he'll just be like, let's watch it.
Yeah.
And you just watch it over and over again.
No, it is hilarious. It's completely hilarious. And, you know, they shot that thing in like, well, not a shocker, but they shot that video in like 2 hours.
I could believe it.
Because they only had David Bowie and Mick Jagger together for a very, very small window. And they wanted to shoot the video, so they were like, listen, and they didn't even have costumes. What they had on was what they wore.
That's amazing.
And they're like, just go run around here and dance around.
I just love that what they were wearing is like, that's what they came on set with.
Exactly.
That's their outfits.
Yes, yeah. And then the video goes on to, like, you know, the song sells millions, and the video has become sort of an iconic piece of weirdness from the 80s. Just a very odd song. But no, Under Pressure is that's on a whole different level. Jim Laskowski, who is a contributor to the show, who will be filling in for Colin for the next few weeks on our Monday morning show. We welcomed him, Jim, reviewing movies with us Monday morning. He says, watching World's Greatest Dad will now have an extra layer of sadness. For those of you who have not seen World's Greatest Dad, God, another stars Robin Williams. Man. And Robin Williams plays this writer. He's a single father, and he plays this writer who has failed at everything. He can't get anything sold. He can't sell a book. He's an absolutely failed writer who is a teacher, and he teaches poetry at a high school. His son is an absolute nightmare. His son is a total jerk, a nightmare. And his son dies while doing auto asphyxiation. He dies while masturbating, and he's hanging from a belt, and he dies. Robin Williams discovers the body and doesn't want his son to be remembered that way, so he writes a fake suicide note and makes it look like his son hung himself, and then writes a journal that becomes popular and published. So this is all a lie, and he creates this fake character that this son was smart and full of wisdom and sad and troubled, and he killed himself, when in fact his son was an A1 jerk. And that's the only thing in this guy's life as a writer that sold, was his dead son's fake journal and fake suicide note. Written and directed by Bobcat Goldthwait. It's as dark and twisted a black comedy as you'll ever see, and a great one. And at the end of the movie, they use Under Pressure in a magnificent scene. And I'm not the biggest Robin Williams fan, and I've never been the biggest Robin Williams fan, but I love him in World's Greatest Dad. I absolutely love him in that movie. It is a great performance. I think the best performance of Robin Williams' career, and the use of Under Pressure is great. As Jim says, watching World's Greatest Dad will now have an extra layer of sadness that I never would have expected. There is a moment involving the song Under Pressure that I found to be both cathartic and truly moving. But obviously, since the passing of Robin Williams, seeing that scene brings tears of joy to my eyes, thinking that Bobcat's friendship with Robin, the pain that Robin went through, and now hearing the two of my favorite musicians doing one of my favorite songs, Under Pressure, in one of my favorite comedies will really affect me forever. Plus, it's hard not to associate that song with my late great dad, who would blast that song every time it would play on XRT. My dad's favorite DJ is Terry Hemmert, who was recently diagnosed with cancer. Cancer sucks, but the legacy of Bowie will live on forever. So many great songs, so many great memories associated with them. Thank you, Nick, for sharing the joy, the wonder, and the talent of this true artist. And our best to Terry. Best to Terry. Just an incredible person. We send our best to Terry to get through this. We're pulling for you, Terry. Get back on the air as soon as possible. Terry Hemmert, I mean, what can you say about her? Legend. All right. We're talking about David Bowie. 312-981-7200. Got a lot of texts here, and that's the same number, 312-981-7200, that you can call and get on the air to talk about David Bowie. We've got more clips. We've got more interviews, all kinds of stuff coming up right here on WGN. I absolutely love you. But we're absolutely beginners. Well, if my love is your love. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. In the middle of our salute and tribute to the one, the only David Bowie, who made an impact on so many people's lives with his incredible music and his incredible art and his acting. That, to me, is a really underrated Bowie song, Absolute Beginners, from a really criminally underrated movie, a really good film called Absolute Beginners. Have you guys ever seen that movie, Dan? Have you ever seen Absolute Beginners?
No.
No.
It came out in, I want to say, 86, I'm going to say. And just got completely lost. But it's a really great film, a wonderful musical, really vibrant, beautifully made. Why am I blanking on the director's name now? I feel like Julian Temple. Sorry. It had to. I knew it would come to me. I knew my brain would go, it's Julian Temple, moron. Of course. But it's a really great British. This guy. But whatever happened to Julian Temple? There's a guy who started out, you know, directing videos. He directed Bowie videos. He directed Janet Jackson videos. You know that song? You know that video, When I Think of You? You know the Janet Jackson song, When I Think of You? Do you guys remember the video, Esmeralda? You remember the video?
Jog my memory.
She is, it looks very much like a fake sort of Hollywood set, like a street set. And she's like dancing through the street as people join her and then leave, and there's all kinds of stuff going. It's all done in one take. I mean, this is before. Now that's a thing in movies. Doing the one long take, that's a thing. If you don't make a movie with one, at least one really long take in it, you're not making movies nowadays. But back in the 80s, Julian Temple was doing that in videos, and people were like, hey, what's going on here? Absolute Beginners opens up with like a 7-minute take. And that video for When I Think of You by Janet Jackson, that's all done in one take. And Absolute Beginners is such a great song. I love that song. It's one of my favorite Bowie songs. And we're talking about David Bowie. We got some texts coming in as well. And here's some more. Jimmy the Bread Guy says it's pretty eerie that his newest album has a song on it that starts out with Look Up and See Me in Heaven. Have you guys seen the pictures, the last pictures of David Bowie that were taken on his birthday?
Yeah, I've seen a few of them.
He looks fantastic.
I know. It's ridiculous. Like, you wouldn't have guessed. Not in a million years.
No. 2 days later, he was dead. It just sucks, man.
But I'm assuming, because I honestly, like how they say it was an 18-month battle, I don't know if it was a battle or if he just let it.
Yeah.
Just ride.
Yeah. I mean, well, if, judging by, you know, some of the material that I've read about in the video that I've seen, I believe he accepted it. If you have you seen the video that they posted from the song?
I've only seen the clips that news outlets have played.
414 area code says David Bowie will always be a part of my life forever. 262 says the great David Bowie movie is The Man Who Fell to Earth. We played a clip from that a little earlier. Monty says Bowie's songs and movies that stuck out for me were in Cat People and Inglourious Basterds. You know, Cat People, there are two different versions of Cat People. The original version of Cat People is the slow, languid, really creepy version of it, which they used in the remake of the horror movie Cat People. And then, God bless him, Quentin Tarantino used that version, the slow, creepy version, in Inglourious Basterds. That idiot Tarantino. I love that idiot. But the popular version of Cat People was the funky, upbeat version that was on, was it on Let's Dance or Tonight? Cat People, I can't remember if it's on Let's Dance or Tonight. But that version of it, the upbeat, you know, like funky, fast version. They're both great. I prefer the slower one, though. 815 area code says, the David Bowie exhibition last year at the Museum of Contemporary Art was amazing, and I became a huge fan of him from that. It was amazing, and if you didn't get a chance to see it, man, it was pretty spectacular.
I didn't go see it, but I heard all about the Coke spoon.
I bet you did.
I heard that there was a Coke spoon.
Yes, there was. Yes, there was. All right, here's Ike on WGN. Hey, Ike.
Hey, Nick. How's it going with you, man?
All right.
Man, I have three things I want to mention on David Bowie. Okay, of course, the movie I remember him most in was Labyrinth.
Yeah, a lot of people of a certain age, that was a movie that they saw when they were kids, and it stayed with them. So.
And that was the movie that made me discover Jennifer Connelly.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, way before she got thin, but she's still a beautiful woman.
Yep.
Of course, we can't forget the opening scene, The Breakfast Club, where we had that quote.
Yep.
It splattered and shattered.
It's a quote. The quote from Change is used at the beginning of The Breakfast Club. Yep.
Absolutely. And the two last comments, of course, Let's Dance. That's my favorite song of his. Every time it comes on, you mm-hmm. feel that energy. There's just something about – there's even remixes of that song, techno.
Right.
That's so amazing. It's just something about that song. It's very cool.
It is.
And the last one, you talk about dancing in the street. That video really haunted me because for some reason – I was a baby when I saw it on MTV, and I had this crazy feeling that it was shot right outside my house. I live around Winston Drive in Country Club Hills. I had this crazy vision that they were shooting that video, and they were dancing outside my house.
Wow. Okay. All right. That's interesting. That's interesting. But, yeah. So, you know, you remember Labyrinth, Esmeralda? Did you see that movie when you were a kid?
I actually just recently saw it, like a couple months ago.
Yeah.
I just saw it, and man, he liked his leggings.
He did, didn't he?
He liked them tights.
Well, he was the Goblin King. He was the Goblin King.
He's adorable.
Though. I was an adult when that movie came out, so it doesn't have the same effect on me as it does a lot of people, but I know a lot of people who maybe 5, 10 years, especially like 10 years younger than me, that movie. Dan, did you see Labyrinth?
I have not seen Labyrinth.
Yeah, it's worth, I mean, it's not, it's kind of a goofy movie, but, you know, you can see Jennifer Connelly as a kid, and she's really beautiful and great in it, and Bowie's the man in it.
Bowie's adorable.
Yeah.
I think.
He's the Goblin King.
He's like, he's cute about his being a king. I don't know. No, because you see the pictures and everything, you think, oh, he's going to be so evil. But he's just like, I got this baby. Let's hang out with all these weirdo things around me.
Hang out with all these Jim Henson creations.
And
these Jim Henson creations. Well, listen, let's hear the final confrontation sequence from, this is from Labyrinth, where Bowie is adorable, according to Esmeralda.
Give me the child.
Sarah, beware. I have been generous up until now, but I can be cruel.
Generous? What have you done that's generous?
Everything. Everything that you wanted, I have done. You asked that the child be taken. I took him. You cowered before me. I was frightened. I have reordered time. I have turned the world upside down. And I have done it all for you. I am exhausted from living up to your expectations. Isn't that generous?
Through dangers untold and hardships unnumbered, I have fought my way here to the castle beyond the Goblin City. For my will is as strong as yours, and my...
Stop! Wait. Look, Sarah. Look what I am offering you. Your dreams.
So there you go. That's from Labyrinth. Adorable. He sounded adorable there, Esmeralda.
I mean, you know, at the end, he was getting sick of her. But there's all those little like singing sequences with all the Muppets, and he's got the baby. Because I thought he was just going to do something horrible to the baby, but he's just hanging out with him.
Just hanging out. All right, that's from Labyrinth. We got some other stuff that we're going to be playing here. He made a lot of movies, and he was terrific in them. And only, as my friend Robin Coffin said, only David Bowie could play Nikola Tesla. You got to cast Bowie as Tesla. And he played him in the Prestige, which, you know, I still haven't gone back and seen that movie a second time. Actually, you know, Dan, I should like that movie because I like all of the Christopher Nolan movies that don't have Batman in them. As long as he doesn't make a Batman movie, I usually like it, and I usually like it a lot.
And if you drop the, your one-word title thing would also work.
That's right, because Interstellar, Inception, Prestige.
Are you a fan of magician movies?
Well, I like the other one that came out that year. What was the name of the...
Edward Norton?
The Edward Norton and Giamatti.
There's a bit of a... like
Illusionist.
A slew of them.
No, I was going to say it was directed by Neil Hamburger, but it's somebody, Berger. Look up the name, Dan. It's Berger. And I think it's not Neil Hamburger. It's not the comedian that was in a terrible movie called The Entertainer earlier this year. His name was Berger, though, I'm pretty sure.
Neil Berger.
Neil Berger, see? Middle name, Ham. All right. We got a break. We'll come back. More Bowie. And I want to play some funny stuff, too. His part in Extras, the Ricky Gervais show, is spectacularly funny. We've got that. He made several appearances on Conan. He loved Conan O'Brien. David Bowie loved Conan O'Brien and appeared on that show many, many times. For no other reason than just to be on there. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but there was a series of gags, of bits that they did on the late night show on NBC called Secrets, where celebrities would come on and tell secrets about themselves. Do you know what I'm talking about, Esmeralda?
Yes, I loved those.
Well, we've got Bowie's Secrets that we're going to play. So there's more and there's music, and it's 312-981-7200, remembering the magnificent David Bowie. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Esmeralda requested that one, right, Esmeralda?
Yeah. They played it in American Horror Story, the carnival one,
mm-hmm.
and like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got really into that song.
It's a great song. And that's one of the things, you know, we've been hearing a bunch of his music throughout the morning as we do this tribute to the great David Bowie, who passed away on Sunday, and his contributions to art and film and music are just, you know, immeasurable. But yeah, that song, that's a pretty great one. Pretty great. I stopped watching that American Horror Story pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And I didn't even watch the hotel one.
I haven't seen it.
I didn't even watch it. Because I watched the first season. I watched the whole first season of it.
You didn't like it?
And I was kind of with it for a while. And then towards the last like 4 or 5 episodes, I was like, man. By the last episode, I'm like, man, this sucks.
It did get a little touchy-feely at the end.
Yeah.
It wasn't as creepy.
And how many times do I need to see Dylan McDermott Mulroney's butt?
More than they showed?
They showed it like 53,000 times. His butt was hanging out.
53,001, please.
Oh, okay. All right. Dylan McDermott Mulroney McDylan Mulroney McDermott?
There can never be enough, I'm sure.
Okay. All right. So As you all know, Ricky Gervais is one of my heroes. I love Ricky Gervais. I think he's funny. I think he's an international treasure, considering he's not from this country, but he's an international treasure. And I think almost everything that comes out of that man's mouth is brilliant and funny. And he did a show called Extras, in which he played an extra on television and movie sets. David Bowie made an appearance on Extras. and it was pretty great. It was pretty great. And Ricky Gervais normally plays a very unlikable chubby jerk in most of the things that he does, because that's kind of the way that people think of Ricky Gervais, although he's not as chubby as he used to be. I prefer my Ricky Gervais chubbier. I don't know why. I like Ricky Gervais chubbier. But anyway, David Bowie appeared on Extras, and we have the audio here, and this is about as funny as it gets. David Bowie on Ricky Gervais's Extras, and this is genius.
Excuse me. Mr. Bowie, can I just say that we are both very big fans.
I can't hear you, love. Come over here.
Oh, God.
Bad job, I don't mind. Thank you. Hi.
Hi, hi.
I was just saying that I'm an entertainer too.
Oh, yeah? What do you do?
I'm in a sitcom.
It's called When the Whistle Blows. Mm. You seen it?
I haven't, no. Is it any good?
No, it's oh, just riffraff everywhere.
Not going down too well, huh?
It's getting 6 million viewers. So, it's not exactly how I meant it to be, because the BBC have interfered and sort of chased ratings and made it the lowest common denominator, sort of comedy, sort of catchphrases and wigs and... I think I've sold out, to be honest, but...
Yeah.
It's difficult, isn't it, to keep your integrity when you're going for that first...
Little fat man who sold his soul.
The little...
Little fat man who sold his dream. Chubby little loser. Chubby little loser. National joke. No, not chubby little loser. No. Pathetic little fat man, no one's bloody laughing. The clown that no one laughs at, they all just wish he'd die. He's so depressed at being useless, the fat man takes his own life.
No.
He's so depressed at being hated, fatty takes his own life.
Fatso.
I like that.
Yeah, let's go with Fatso.
Fatso takes his own life. He blows his bloated face off.
No.
He blows his stupid brains out.
But the twat I'd probably miss.
Yes, Linda, I like that.
Yeah, so do I. It's brilliant, Linda.
He sold his soul for a shot at fame. Catchphrase and wig and the jokes are lame. He's got no style. He's got no grace. He's banal and facile. He's a fat waste of space.
Yeah. Everybody sing that last line. One, two, three.
He's banal and facile. He's a fat waste of space. See his pot, no space.
I would have let David Bowie write any song he wanted about me, good or bad. I'd be like, do it. Go ahead, Bowie.
Absolutely. Oh, man. So funny. All right, we got a break. More David Bowie memories. We're going to play that very funny David Bowie Secrets from the Conan O'Brien show from some years back.
Never gonna fall. All right, I'm looking up at the screen, and both in the newsroom and in traffic, two very attractive ladies are dancing to Modern Love by the great David Bowie. Mary, you like that song, huh?
This is my favorite one.
That's your favorite. Look at that, and somebody else is dancing.
Absolute favorite. Oh, shit. Steve Krasanich.
Krasanich is dancing as well.
Nice hip action.
It wasn't quite as attractive as Merelda dancing, but it was it's something. Steve will be coming up, by the way, at 5. So you like that one. That's your favorite, Mary?
That and Suffragette City. I love that one, too.
I do, too. Boy, what a loss, huh? We've been playing a bunch of his music and all kinds of stuff. Modern Love is one of my favorites, and if just a little preview, you'll be hearing that Friday on Fly Jams Friday.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because that's a Fly Jam.
Yeah, it is. I never thought of it that
way.
One of my
requests. I have all three of my requests on Fly Jams Friday this Friday are all David Bowie songs. In honor of David Bowie. Hey, welcome to the station, Mayor.
Oh, thanks.
I'm glad I could get your day started off with a little dancing.
I was jamming in the car too, and Labyrinth brings back memories. by the way, the road's not that great on some of the side streets, and Roosevelt Road was hideous.
Okay.
In the western suburbs areas. So just be aware. Give yourself some extra time. The plows have not completely been out everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah. You'd think by now they would be, but they
haven't. Okay. Look at that. Mary doing her job. She's not even on the clock till 5.
Sorry.
This is how great Mary is. All right, Mary. Keep dancing. We've got more stuff
going on. I gotta
go get my tea. Go get your tea. All right. Speaking of tea, oh, look at this. It doesn't even know it, and it's a segue to a story. Mary, nice job. I have a story here.
You're welcome.
That was from my friend Jamie Hale, the only guy who ever fired me. The only time I've ever been fired in my life was by this guy, who I'm about to read a story from. I was fired from Ginger's Ale House. Only job I've ever been fired.
What? Why'd you get fired?
It's a long story. I'll tell you off the air.
Oh, boy.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, okay.
Seriously, I didn't do anything wrong. And
a
Jamie
mercy
and I.
Firing?
No, it had to do with the fact that the people who ran the place,
right.
I worked on Tuesdays and Sundays, and on Sundays, that was their session day. So it was a bunch of Brits and Irish guys who would get together, start drinking at 8 a.m.
Gotcha.
And by the time I came in at 6, they were hammered.
Mm-hmm.
And they were at the end of the bar. This was every Sunday. They would climb over the bar turn the jukebox up to 20 anytime the Pogues would come on. Not that I, you know, don't
it's
like
loud,
that.
But
people would leave. People would leave the bar. And I'm like, look, if you guys just want to, you know. And so I had an attitude. And I remember Jamie telling me, you don't have the right temperament for the job. And I'm like,
subordinates.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, no, I don't. If you're going to be hammered, you know, and chasing customers out, I'm going to make $3 because you guys are hammered. And so we've since buried the hatchet.
Oh, good.
Jamie says, I was a manager at the Riviera Theater in 1991. When Tin Machine played a gig there that summer, right before the sound check, there was a knock on my office door, and it was the man himself, David Bowie. He said he heard that I was the man to see for a proper cup of tea. Jamie, by the way, is a Brit.
Okay.
I used to have a stash of English tea bags on hand at all times. So we had a cup of tea. He gave me one of his famous, I can't pronounce this, G-A-U-L, Glaucier cigarettes. I'm sure it's something French or British.
The brand, yeah.
And we had a 10-minute chat about something or other. I can't remember because all I did was nod. Of all the big names that played the Riv in the 6 years that I worked there, meeting him trumped absolutely all of them.
Wow.
Having a cup of tea with Bowie.
Can you imagine? He's like, you're the guy.
And that's the guy that fired me. So I feel better. He hung out with Bowie for 10 minutes, so that's fine that you fired me. Okay. Now, Esmeralda, you seemed very excited at the prospect of hearing secrets.
Yeah, no, I love Conan, so.
I love Conan, too.
Yeah.
And that was one of the funniest bits that they ever did, was when they'd bring in a celebrity, they'd, like, put him in a secret room with a brick wall behind him.
Right.
Normally they were smoking cigarettes, and they would tell these deep, dark secrets. As a fan of Conan, then you know that one of the friends of the show, unbelievably, was Bowie. Bowie loved Conan and showed up on the show a lot. I mean, for no reason. He would just show up. So David Bowie was a big fan of Conan's, and obviously Conan was thrilled to have him on the show. So he decided that it would be really hilarious for David Bowie to do a segment of secrets. So, Dan, we have this. Okay, here we go.
Tonight, we have a really famous music star who, for some reason, was willing to spill his guts for us on camera. This is some pretty dark, disturbing stuff. You might want to send the kids out of the room. Take a look.
Bowie. Secrets.
Sometimes, when I'm at a McDonald's, I wait until nobody's looking. And then I stick my hand inside the straw dispenser and touch all the straws.
Secrets.
I've reinvented my image so many times that I'm in denial that I was originally an overweight Korean woman.
Secrets.
I was on tour in the United States back in 89, and we did a show in Cincinnati. During that show, I shouted out, "It's great to be in Cincinnati." That was a lie.
Bowie. Secrets. Bowie. Secrets.
In the original version of Space Oddity, I sang, "Ground control, I miss my mum. Ground control, I miss my mum. What can I say? I miss mum."
Secrets.
You'd think that being a famous rock star, married to a supermodel, would be one of the greatest things in the world. It is.
Secrets.
I don't know how many times someone has come up to me and said, "Hey, let's dance." I hate dancing. God, it's stupid.
Bowie.
Come on. Come on.
Oh, gosh. He's so good.
So, yeah. So funny. Man, oh, man. All right, now, he wasn't opposed to having a lot of fun, all right? You heard that. Evidently, he provided the voice for Lord Royal Highness in SpongeBob SquarePants. So here's David Bowie as Lord Royal Highness in SpongeBob SquarePants. Real shocking that there's a character called Highness on SpongeBob SquarePants, since most of the people who watch the show who are not kids are high when they watch it. All right, here we go.
Welcome to Atlantis. I've been expecting you. Allow me to introduce myself. I am the Lord Royal Highness, but my friends call me LRH.
My friends call me SpongeBob. I'm here to see the oldest bubble.
Yes, of course.
What a rip-off. This street ain't gold.
Oh, if it's gold you want, you'll find it in our vault.
I'm Eugene. I like money.
I can see that. Pleasure to meet you. Come, I'll give you the grand tour of our Atlantean fortress. I'm so glad you're here.
How about that?
That's amazing. I thought it was just going to be himself.
No.
But that's even cuter.
That's even cuter. Okay. There is a sequel to Zoolander coming out. I'm not quite sure why.
What do you mean?
I'm not a fan. but I did love Bowie. Showing up in Zoolander. You remember?
That was the best.
It's the best. For me, best part of the movie, that and the line, "You should listen to your friend Billy Zane." That's my favorite. My favorite moment in Zoolander is, "You should listen to your friend Billy Zane." That's my favorite moment in the movie. But Bowie showing up, because I just don't think Zoolander's funny. It just doesn't do it for me. But Bowie showing up to judge the big walk-off at the end of the movie. Again, Bowie, hilarious.
Yes. All right, who's going to call this sucker?
If nobody has any objections, I believe I might be of service. Now, this will be a straight walk-off. Old school rules. First model walks, second model duplicates, then elaborates. Okay, boys, let's go to work.
Each before beauty, go cheese.
Whatever.
Okay. That's the best part of the movie. 29
so
seconds
amazing.
Of David Bowie. So.
He wasn't exactly in, I don't know if you ever watched the animated show on Adult Swim called Venture Brothers.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
So do you remember the episode where it was Bowie? I mean, it wasn't him.
Yep.
But just the idea of Bowie being, I was like, what, Bowie?
Yeah, yep. Let's see. It looks like I won't be sleeping tonight, but that's okay. Thank you, someone says. I've mentioned before, Aladdin Sane album has always been my favorite, though I love everything that he's done. That exhibit at the MCA was the best exhibit I've ever seen. I'm a devoted fan for 46 years. And yes, I had front row seats for the Elephant Man. It was breathtaking. It was at the Blackstone Theater in August of 1980.
another person leaving their comments. 331 area code says Stevie Ray Vaughan got his start with David Bowie. Just imagine if that had never happened. That's right. David Bowie gave Stevie Ray Vaughan a national exposure and put him on Let's Dance, put him on the album Let Us Dance. Man, he was something, that David Bowie, huh?
He was.
Kind of important. All right. Justin Timberlake says, I can never express into words how you will continue to inspire me. Thank you for showing a pimple-faced, curly-mopped kid that different was the thing to be, a genius for the ages and the ages to come. My man JT expressing his love for David Bowie. Yeah. Morning, everybody. That's my favorite Bowie song of all time. It's my favorite David Bowie song of all time. Dan, do you have a favorite Bowie song?
That would also be mine.
Yeah. Esmeralda?
Maybe China Girl.
Ooh, good song.
I don't know. Maybe.
Good song. That's from the, you know who plays a guitar solo
there's
on that?
So many.
Stevie Ray Vaughan. Yeah, there are. I mean, as we were, you know, we could do another 2 hours on Bowie like that,
right,
and have stories and clips and more great songs.
Oh, and the one that everybody, I guess that's everybody's favorite, but Space Oddity.
Space Oddity is one of my favorite. That Heroes is my favorite. And,
right,
and again, I want to mention, if you've not seen, it's on YouTube, if you've not seen the performance that Bowie did of that song at Live Aid in 1985, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So Bowie was not only an incredible artist, a great actor, incredible musician, songwriter, everything about him, innovator, everything about the man was great. He was also, he cared a lot about the world and fairness in the world and spoke out about it. In 1983, when he was doing a promotion for Let's Dance, he was interviewed by Mark Goodman, one of the original VJs, mm-hmm, on MTV. And he was on MTV when he posed a question about why there weren't that many black artists being played on MTV. Now, you have to understand, this is 1983. David Bowie was like the bread and butter at that point for MTV.
Right.
Because, I mean, he was the man. He was on the cutting edge of videos. He was the man. And he questioned MTV right in front of Mark Goodman and put him on the spot. 1983, by the way, the biggest selling artist of that year was Michael Jackson, who happened to be black. And this is just a clip. This whole video, by the way, the entire interview is like 5 minutes long. It's available online. I suggest everybody check it out. And the Washington Post ran this clip with a whole article about some of the other things, philanthropic things that David Bowie did. This, I love this, that he put Mark Goodman on the spot here, right at the height of MTV's popularity.
I'd like to ask you something. It occurred to me, having watched MTV over the last few months, that it's a solid enterprise, and it's got a lot going for it. I'm just floored by the fact that there's so few black artists featured on it. Why is that?
I think that we're trying to move in that direction. We want to play artists that seem to be doing music that fits into what we want to play for MTV. The company is thinking in terms of narrow casting.
That's evident. It's evident in the fact that the only few black artists that one does see are on about 2:30 in the morning or to around 6. Very few are featured predominantly during the day.
No, that's a...
I'll say that over the last couple of weeks these things have been changing, but slow process.
I know, it's funny, I think people have different perceptions. When you wind up watching, let's say you watch an hour or two or even three a day, people somehow come away with different ideas about what we are doing. We don't have any kind of day-parting for anything, let alone a black artist day-parted out of what would be, quote, prime time. We don't have that.
Because one sees a lot there's one black station on television that I keep picking up. I'm not sure which station it's on. But there seem to be a lot of black artists making very good videos that I'm surprised aren't used on MTV.
Well, of course, also we have to try and do what we think not only New York and Los Angeles will appreciate, but also Poughkeepsie or Midwest. Pick some town in the Midwest that will be scared to death by Prince, which we're playing, or a string of other black faces.
That's
and black
very
music.
Interesting. Isn't that interesting?
You know, we have to play the music that we think an entire country is going to like, and certainly we're a rock and roll station now. The question would be asked, well, should, since we're in New York, should PLJ play, the Isley Brothers? Well, you and I might say, yeah, because we have grown up in an era when the Isley Brothers mean something to me, and so do the Spinners, even way after the Isley Brothers. But what does it mean to a 17-year-old? Well, if you talk on the phones to these guys like I did when I was in radio, it's
well,
scary.
I'll tell you what it means. I'll tell you what maybe the Isley Brothers or Marvin Gaye means to a black 17-year-old.
Ah.
And surely he's part of America as well.
No question, no question. And that's why you're seeing those things.
Do you not find that it's a frightening predicament to be in?
I love that, man. So fantastic.
And he's so cool about it.
He's so cool about it. And like Mark Goodman, because, you know, the video, the camera is mostly over Goodman's shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really see Mark Goodman. You just see Bowie like reacting to what Goodman is saying. But man, you could just see like Goodman, like if he were a truck, he'd be going beep, beep, beep during that whole thing, man. And like, and I'm just like Bowie, just kind of sitting there shaking his head. Yeah, what about black teenagers, black 17-year-olds? You know,
I love that Mark Goodman used the example of Prince being frightening.
Well,
he's to the
terrifying.
Midwest.
He would be terrifying to Poughkeepsie.
Those kids it's scared just, out of the wits.
It's unbelievable. But that was Bowie, man. That was David Bowie. Oh man, 920 area code says David Bowie was generous of the heart because he had no vanity. And he had no giant ego. That's why we don't hear bad things about him. We never have. And I'm not surprised that he helped Boland's son. Let's see. It's G says there was a famous Bowie story that I heard. A writer at a party said a gorgeous woman entered, turned all the heads, and it turned out to be David Bowie.
I will say that man, the older he got, the more gorgeous. Like,
oh,
he
yeah.
He was a good looking fellow.
Absolutely.
I did not find him attractive in his younger days, but the older, every year that went by, I'd be like, oh, hey, Bowie.
Hey.
Hey.
Troy says the first time I saw Bowie was on the Midnight Special. It was the 1980 Floor Show on November 16th, 1973. My family had just moved into our new home. His wife, Angela, was on The Tonight Show that night, and he was on The Midnight Special. I became a fan from that moment. He didn't look or sound like anyone else. My first Bowie album was Aladdin Sane. My favorite Bowie album was Scary Monsters. My favorite Bowie song is Life on Mars. I feel like I've lost a close friend. That's how a lot of people, I think, were feeling. And as we've, you know, as we've learned over the course of this morning, I mean, the effect that he had on people is pretty amazing.
You know, one of the interesting things for me was the first time I heard Heroes, it was a cover. And, you know, it's always interesting when you have a situation where you learn about other artists or bands that you like. Because it was a cover by the Wallflowers for the Godzilla soundtrack. They did a cover of Heroes.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that
yeah.
now. Yeah.
Dylan,
you know, and
right?
Yeah.
Jacob Dylan. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, like I remember hearing Pete Yorn doing a cover of China Girl, you know? So it's just like, you know, it always is one of those interesting things where if they're good enough to be covered, you realized how important they were to these, you know, major market stars
right.
that eventually were like, this is important to me that I want to record this song.
I think I remember the cover of Heroes by the Wallflowers.
Yeah, I can hear it in my head.
Yeah. I think I do remember that. Okay. I'd rather forget it, but I do remember it. Anyway, thank you all for your thoughts. We've got a ton. We had a ton of texts coming in. We had phone calls and everybody. Long live David Bowie. Rest in peace. He was a true legend.